you have your Bibles, be opening to Matthew chapter 19. This past Thursday, Salisa and I celebrated 33 years of marriage. After 33 years of marriage, she still does not like to watch TV with me. It was one thing when we first got married and we only had 3, 6, and 12. But now we have hundreds of channels. I have a little remote. You would think after 33 years of living with her, I would know what she's going to do. But I still fall for this every time. We're sitting upstairs. She comes upstairs. I'm watching something on TV. And the first thing she asks me is not what are we watching. She says, where's the remote? And I say, it's right here. And she grabs it out of my hand and hides it. Why? Well, let's just say I like to watch as many programs at the same time as I can, especially 2 or 3. When I'm watching TV, I want to see what I'm not watching. I want to know what I'm missing. I mean, like yesterday, I had a few moments and I was upstairs in the bonus room. We had the grandkids and I had the British Open on. And it was glorious. I'm a Phil Mickelson fan. And yet at the same time, I knew I was missing the Tour de France. And I'm a follower of Chris Froome. And I tried to take the remote and go to the tour, but because Salisa was taping it, it had me locked out and I had to answer a question to go back to live TV. I couldn't. What I had to do, I had to go downstairs into the bedroom on the little TV and watch the tour. But when I was watching the tour, I knew I was missing the British Open. So I would have to run back upstairs, watch the British Open. And after watching the British Open a little while, I would run back downstairs. Well, I ought to be more in shape than I am. And Salisa, for some reason, just does not enjoy the television experience with me. This morning, as we continue talking about our Dream Home series, I want to talk about a subject that we don't talk much about in the church, but yet I think is very important, and that's being a Christian single. This morning and next Sunday, I want to try, the Lord permitting, to finish out our Dream Home series by talking about how to build or remodel the home of your dream if you're single. Now, as a pastor, I realize there are some people in our church and in society who are single by choice, but then there are other people in our church who are single by circumstance. Can you imagine what it might have been like to be a single person in our church for the past 10 weeks, and all Brother Ricky's talked about is the glory of the home, the glory of the husband-wife relationship, the glory of rearing children, and you've sat here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and you are single by choice. Some of us, that's never went through our mind, has it? We are so engulfed in us and our faith and how God's speaking to us that we have forgotten about those adults in our family who are single by choice or by circumstance. Would you stand with me as we open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 19, and we're also going to turn to 1 Corinthians 7, but I want to read from Matthew chapter 19, and then let's talk about single by choice, because here's what I really believe. I believe there are some people who are living single as a Christian who are living like Brother Ricky watches TV. They can't enjoy their life as a single because of what they're afraid they're missing out on. They hear us talk about marriage in such glorious terms that single people have been going home for the last 10 weeks wishing they were married. Can't enjoy being single because of what I'm missing by being married. Now, I don't want anything to say this morning cancel out what I've said over the last 10 weeks, but I want us to look this morning as the church family from the perspective of what it would be like to be single and to be a Christian, either by choice or by circumstance. I hope it will help us in the church have more compassion for those who are not like us in the state of marriage. More and more of our population is living single, and the church must address Christians. Matthew chapter 19, if you have your Bibles, I'll find it in a second. Listen to what the Word of God says, verse 3. And the Pharisees came up to him and tested him by asking, is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause? He answered, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female and said, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, so they are no longer two but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. They said to him, "Why then did Moses command one to give a certificate of divorce and to send her away?" He said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery." Don't you listen to the disciples' question? Because I don't think in this modern era anybody in the church or in the world would ask the question the disciples asked Jesus. I think time has changed so much in our view of God's plan for the marriage that there's not one of us that would ask this question, but they ask. Listen to what they said. The disciples said to him, "If such is the case of a man with his wife," what? "It is better not to marry." Whoa. Did you hear that? If marriage is a permanent state, if a husband and wife in marriage are bound to each other and there's no way out of that relationship except adultery, first thing on the disciples' mind was this: then it's better for a man not to take a wife and ever get married. Wow. Now listen to Jesus' answer. "But he said to them, not everyone can receive this saying, but only those to whom it's been given. For there are eunuchs who have been so from birth, and there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by men, and there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Let the one who is able to receive this, receive it." Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. "Now concerning the matters about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to have sexual relationships with a woman. But because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights, and likewise the wife to her husband, for the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together again so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Now, as a concession, not a command, I say this, I wish that all were as myself. But each one has his own gift from God, one of one kind and one of another." Verse 8, "To the unmarried and widows, I say then it is good for them to remain single as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, they should marry. For it's better to marry than to be aflame with passion." Father, add your blessings to the reading of this your word. Help us teach what we believe the Bible teaches about Christian singleness. It's in your precious Son's name we pray. You may be seated. If you're here this morning and you are a Christian single, and you are single by choice, I want to speak to you personally. I pray that for those of us who are in a married relationship, that we will listen so that we will be compassionate about those whom we work with who are not in the same situation we are. And that we do not approach life totally from our perspective of being married, but that we also realize there are folks in our church, folks that we work with, folks in our family, possibly our son, possibly our daughter, who may have a call from God to remain single. And therefore, they are single by choice, by either God's choice or by their choice. And then next week, we'll build on these principles and talk about being single by circumstance, primarily single because of death of a spouse or single because of divorce. You know, Brother Ricky's going to have a principle from Scripture, and here's my principle. Based on Matthew chapter 19, based on 1 Corinthians chapter 7, all 40 verses, I believe here's the principle to live by if you are a Christian single. Live where you are with who you are for Christ. Amen? Live where you are with who you are for Christ. If you're a Christian single, I want to encourage you with this good news. You live in Singleville. And there's nothing wrong with living in Singleville. If you're living in Singleville right now, you are not living on the wrong side of the tracks. You are not in the wrong part of town. You are not in a substandard subdivision. But you know, I've been thinking a little bit. I really do not believe we live in a world that's geared toward singleness. Do you? I think we live in a world that's geared toward couples. Can you imagine coming to Hardin Baptist Church and being single? No, you can't imagine that, because the majority of us are married. And we've been married so long, we forget about what it was like to be single. But if you're like me, you were never single. You moved from your mom and daddy's house immediately in with your wife. So you were never, quote, single. You were either under your parents or can I tease, under your wife, you're in a relationship with someone else. So many of us have never been single. Can you imagine what it would be like to walk down this hallway and classroom after classroom after classroom be full of people who are married? Can you imagine going on a mission trip and everybody on the mission trip is married but you? Have you ever noticed if you go to town and you go to a restaurant, they don't design restaurants for single people? Smallest table you can find at a restaurant is what? A table for two. And table for two in our society is a place of intimacy. But there are very few tables of two in restaurants. Most of the tables in restaurants are for four. So you go to a restaurant by yourself and you have to sit by a table of two, table of four, or belly up to the bar. And they don't even believe you ought to be single at a bar. They put those bar stools right next to another bar stool, believing you need somebody close to you in your life. Amen? And here's what I'm suggesting this morning. I could be totally wrong. I believe subtly the world sends a message to single people. It's not good to be single. And so here's what I believe. Most people who are single feel like they're missing out. Missing out on what? Being married. So I believe most single people live with a for sale sign on the front lawn of their life, saying, I'm ready at any moment to move from Singleville to marriage. And in the church, we prize marriage, and we should. But what we have not done is done what the Bible says is true, and that's acknowledge that there are always exceptions to the rule. Amen? And it's okay to be an exception. It's okay to acknowledge, wow, I'm going to live single. 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, perhaps my whole life. And you know what? That's not a sign there's something wrong with me. Now, there could always be something wrong with it. Amen? But being single does not mean something's wrong. Now, can I just say this if you're in Singleville? It is better to be in Singleville wishing you were married than to be sitting here married and wishing you were single. Amen? Now, I don't want anybody to raise their hands, but can I just say to all of you single people who are Christians, you are completely free. If you are single by choice and have never been married, you are free at any moment in your life to move out of Singleville into Marriageville. But if you are married, you are not free. Got it? You are bound to live in marriage. Now, let me tell you what I think we got to be careful about in the church. We got to be careful because if we do not do what Scripture do, and that's uphold Christian singleness as a call from God in some people's life, not all people's life, here's what we'll do. We'll have people living in Singleville believing they're missing out on being married, and then they'll live their whole life on pause, waiting for Mr. Wright to come along. Waiting for Mr. Wright. And then after a few years, we settle for Mr. Okay. Then a couple of years into marriage, we realize he really wasn't Mr. Okay. He was just Mr. Just. And let me tell you, a sad place to be in your life is when you wake up 10 years into a marriage, 3 kids later, and you realize you married Mr. Just All or Mr. Not Right. Can you imagine what it would be like in 25 years to realize you married Mr. Wrong? Why? Because we never prized singles living where in single. You know what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians about Singleville? You are free from trouble. Can I say to every married single person here, if you think you have problems, you don't know what problems are till you get married, according to Paul. Can we just all married couples say, amen, amen. And here's what the Bible teaches. That if you move out of Singleville into Marriageville, guess what? You're going to wake up every morning anxious, not about how to please the Lord, but you're going to wake up anxious about how to please your wife or how to please your husband or about how to please your kids. Whew. Amen? I would not know what it would be like to wake up and have this thought. 33 years later, a wife, 3 kids, 3 grandkids, and have this thought. What would I like to do today? What does me and the Lord want? Never goes through my mind. I wake up every morning wondering what my wife, amen? Even though my kids are grown and gone, what do they need from daddy? And wow, I've had plans before, and we get the 3 boys, and you just forget about those plans. It's all about the boy. As a Christian single, you don't have that thought. Your thought is this, how to please the Lord. So can I say this to you, if you're a Christian single, enjoy where you're at. And learn to live not only where you are in Singleville, but learn to live with who you are. Amen? Because can I just say this? If you don't like living with you, there's not a man or a woman who's going to like living with you either. Amen? Biggest mistake single people make is believing marriage will solve their problems. Marriage will never solve your problem. Now I want to remind us who are in Singleville of this truth. There's a difference between being alone and being lonely. Alone is a state of physicality. Loneliness is a state of emotion. It's a state of mind. You know the difference, right? You can be alone and not be lonely, but you can be lonely and not be alone. I'm telling you as a Christian single, if you don't learn to live with who you are, you can marry for the wrong reason, attach yourself to the wrong person, and the moment you do that, that will not satisfy your need of not being alone. I can't tell you how many ladies are sitting in this room right now this morning, and they'll be in all four services today, five including the campground service, where they are lonely, but they are not alone. Here's what I suggest to Christian single men and women. I don't want you to learn to live alone. I want you to learn to live in solitude, and there's a difference. In solitude, I can have inner contentment and inner peace and enjoy who I am as a unique creation of God, designed for His honor and His glory. And that does not make me self-centered. But if we're not careful in the church, now here's where we got to be careful. Most people aren't exceptions to the rule, but we got to be careful. When we take Genesis 2 and teach that God has designed every man and every woman to be married, then here's what we teach young single people to do, to live their life waiting for Mr. Right or Miss Right. And we end up living in a state of singleness, looking for someone else and concentrating on them rather than concentrating on who we are in our intimacy with Christ. And then here's what we do. We take that marriage principle of 1 + 1 = 1, and I believe that. But you can't get that in the natural world. You can't add 1 to 1 and get 1. Agreed? You always get 2. So watch this. If we're not careful in the church, here's what I think we teach a single person in the church who's been gifted by God to be single, or they're single by circumstance, that they're not whole, they're not healthy, something's wrong with them. That they're a half a person, or 3/4 of a person, or 5/8 of a person, or 3/8 of a person. And here's what happened. I see it all the time. I view myself as 3/4 of a person, so you know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for somebody to complete me, so I just need 1/4 of a man. And that's what many secret people marry. Or maybe I'm a man who raised pretty good, but I view myself as single as just half a man, so I'm looking for half a woman. But you know when it gets really bad? It's when I've been raised in a home where my father was absent, or he was a total dictator, my self-esteem is 0, and I'm a nothing, and now I'm looking for Mr. Perfect. And I go into a relationship believing I have nothing to. That's not it. Amen? So what I want to suggest is that we teach, the Bible teaches, that there are exceptions to the rule of marriage, and that there are people who have been designed by God or by their own choice to live single. And when they're living single, they need to live where they are, enjoy where they are, Singleville, and not be looking, not put their life on hold, not believe they've got to have a roommate, but to believe during this state, whether it be 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, or whether it be the entirety of their life, they learn to live with who they are under. And then thirdly, for Christ, for Christ. See, those of us who are married, we either live for Chris or we live for Christy. Amen? But if you're single, you live for Christ.
Wow.
You live for Christ. This week, finishing 33 years of marriage with my wife, I had to make a decision, and I made it, and we've practiced it all week long, and you pray I can keep doing it. See, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Brother Ricky doesn't live just for Christ. His loyalty is divided between Salisa, my 3 kids, and my 3 grandkids. Agreed? And I've only got 24 hours in a day, and I only get 7 days a week. But man, I'm a Christian, and I really want to live for Christ. And when you're living for Christ and you're the pastor of a church and you're living in this new age of technology, it's tough. So you know what I had to do? Now, I did this willingly. I did this joyfully. I'm living under a new standard, and here's my new standard. I'm only going to answer my cell phone from 6:30 to 6:30. You know why? Because I got a wife. Now, she's not complaining. I got kids. They're not complaining. I got grandkids. They're not complaining. But I'm responsible to live as a married man. Agreed? So from 6:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m., my phone will be answered. Or if it's not answered, it's probably because I'm on the phone. But after 6:30, I'm not going to answer. Now, calls from 6:30 to 6:30 will be checked occasionally, but not during supper, not during intimacy time, not during the British Open. I can't tell you how many times I answer the phone. 11:30, 11:45, 1:30 in the morning. You say, Brother Kid, no, I'm not kidding. Answer the phone. I didn't expect you to answer. You called me at 1:30 in the morning and didn't expect me to answer. Then why did you call? Well, I was just going to leave me a message. I'm a pastor. You call it 1:30 in the morning, I'm wondering who died, who had a heart attack, who had a stroke, who's in jail. Amen. You know, I think that same thing when you call during supper. I think that same thing when you call. And now, why am I saying this? I'm saying this just to say this. If you're in Singleville, you don't have to do that because you don't live for Christy and you don't live for Chris. You live for Christ. Totally. Amen. And you see that freedom you have that a married person does not have? So what I'm trying to say to you is quit looking at what you're missing and enjoy what you have. And that's true freedom to serve Christ. Man, I think about people who've served Christ in singleness, Paul. If you're a single, you need to read John Stott. Lived to be 90, celibate his whole life. Wrote more books, has influenced more of Christianity than probably any other man on the planet. And enjoyed Christians. Has anyone ever read the Chronicles of Narnia? Do you know those was written by a single man who did not marry till later in life? Now, I'm not saying a married man can't write something good. But I'm just saying there's been some great things come from the life of people who have devoted themselves to being single and realizing they are married to Christ and serving Him. Now, John warns us about two temptations, and I think they're both biblical if we're going to live single. The first one is this. You're going to face sexual temptation. Living in this society, you're really going to face sexual temptation. You can't go buy a car without sex selling the car. You can't go to the mailbox without being tempted in this society. So here's what I want to remind you of if you're a Christian single. And you got to believe this. This has got to be your standard. Sex is for two people in marriage, not for two people in love. If you ever lower your standard to believe sex is for two people in love, you are going to face sexual temptation in a way that you... Here's what I want to remind you of. As a Christian single, you have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, and your body is the temple of God's Holy Spirit. And here's what I want you to remember. I want you to think of my body as a Christian single as belonging to the Holy Spirit. And I want you to think of the temple in the Old Testament. There were three parts of that temple. There was three courtyards, so to speak. There was an outer court, and there was an inner court, but the inner court was divided into two courts. So you have the outer court, then you have the inner court, and then you have the Holy of Holies. And here's what I'll say to you if you're a Christian single. In your outer court, it's okay to have friends, but you never let friends come into the holy place. There are some people, as a Christian single, you must always keep at a distance. You can mingle with them, you can be acquainted with them, but you don't let them inside, you keep them outside. Does that make sense? And then you have a place called the holy place where you invite certain people in. But these got to be special people. These got to be people that are not a threat to you, they're not going to harm you, they're not going to hurt you, they are safe. But then I will say this to you, you still, as a single, have a holy of holies. And can I remind you, in the Old Testament, there's only one person who could come into the holy of holies. Remember that? And I will say this to you, as a Christian single, lovingly, you are never to let anyone come into your holy of holies except your husband or your wife. And until that person you've let into the holy place becomes your husband or wife, they never pull the veil back and come in to the holy of holies. Got it? We got to avoid sexual temptation. And secondly, we got to avoid the temptation to be self-centered. See, I can't imagine what it would be to wake up and wonder, what do I want to do today? You can't wake up that way as a Christian either, even single, because your life doesn't belong to you, your life belongs to you. And so what you've got to realize is this. There is going to be a temptation for you to put you first in your life as a Christian single and do what you want to do. And you'll never be fulfilled as a Christian. What you've got to do is truly put Christ first and live for Him and let your life totally revolve around. And understand that as He's gifted you with the ability to live single by choice, it's a high calling of God. And He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. And can I say this as a Christian single? It's going to hit you one day that you'll never have children. You'll never have descendants. If you're a man, your name will never be carried on, so to speak. That's what the world tells you. That's what the church tells you. But can I tell you what will happen to you as a Christian single if you dedicate your life to the glory of God? You will never know the spiritual descendants who will honor you in death because of the life you poured out. John Stott, you know what his affectionate name was? Uncle John. Uncle John. Wow. They tell me he had thousands of people who called him Uncle John. Because when he came into a place, he never had to rush home to his wife. He never had to rush home to his children. He poured his whole life into Christ. And he became a spiritual giant in the life of soul. And that's God's plan for you. Now, it may just be 5 years. It may be 10 years. It may be 15 years. But what Ricky's saying to you as a single is, don't live your life on pause. And don't live your life waiting for someone. Learn to live where you are with who you are for Christ. And you glory in being single. Remodel your life
to those three. And if you're here married, don't even think about what I just talked about. Amen? You repent of your temptation. You repent of your self-centeredness as a married man. And you be the man God called you to be, and you be the wife God called you to be. Because for most of us, we've not been called to a life of exception. But some. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. We thank you. Let our church come to understand this truth and help us not just design a ministry toward couples, but help us also design ministry toward singles choice. Father, don't let anyone here give up on us, but help them hang with us and help us truly see the body in its entirety. And not all of us are married. Praise you for those who are single by choice. Help us prepare even more as next week we deal with those who are single by circle. And don't let us as married couples believe this doesn't affect us, because many of us will have children, grandchildren, who will be single either by choice or by circle. And we want to be an encouragement. In your son's name we pray.